This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I'm exhausted, and we're just getting started. And we only have 3 hours to fit everything in today. It's like you're on a roller coaster that doesn't allow you to get off. 24 hours ago, Mike Vrabel being fired by the Titans was a big deal. Then all of a sudden, Seahawks politely move on from Pete Carroll. And then Nick Saban abruptly retires at Alabama. And then Bill Belichick and the Patriots decide to part ways earlier this morning. They have a press conference. It will be Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick at the podium together at noon Eastern. Whew. Welcome to the show. That was generational yesterday. When you think about it, I remember the first time I met Bill Belichick. He was a defensive coordinator with the Giants. Now, Bill Parcells didn't allow his assistant coaches to do interviews, but I did introduce myself to him. I was new to New York. I met him. I just introduced myself. I don't even know if he responded. And then here we are today. Bill Belichick is out as the Patriots head coach. I think he'll coach again. Nick Saban, I've known for a long, long time. And yesterday didn't surprise me, but there's still that element of shock that Nick Saban is not going to coach any longer. Pete Carroll, one of the great college coaches of all time, and a couple of yards away from joining a pretty elite group of head coaches to win two Super Bowls, decides that he is going to part ways with Seattle, at least as a head coach, maybe staying on as a coordinator. And I gave you a heads up from last week when I was talking to somebody in Seattle, and they said, hey, keep an eye on the Pete Carroll situation here in Seattle. And I said, wait, Seattle could move on from Pete Carroll? And I was told yes. Now, Pete came out earlier this week and said, no, I got the energy, I'm going to keep coaching. And then all of a sudden yesterday happened. Mike Vrabel, there was a little bit of surprise there because he's a coach that's going to be in demand. Pete Carroll, I think, wants to coach again. Bill Belichick's going to coach again. I don't think Nick Saban is going to coach again. Welcome to the show. Hour one, Rodney Harrison, who is a Hall of Fame finalist. He is a former Patriots defensive back. He's going to join us coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. Also, Gary Danielson, one of the great voices of the SEC with CBS Sports, will join us a little bit later on. And the great NFL Network reporter, Tom Pelissero, on sort of what has happened and how does this change maybe teams that have a coach or they don't have a coach And now you have some openings and you have even more candidates. So pretty crazy day. This program brought to you by the great folks at Discover Cashback Debit. It's a checking account that rewards everyone with cashback on everyday purchases. No fees, period. Check out eligibility terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank member FDIC. And not to have news that is even larger than what happened with Saban at Alabama or Belichick with the Patriots, Pete Carroll with Seattle. But later on today at 6 Eastern in the newsletter, you'll be able to find out how you can join us at the Super Bowl.
Bury the lead.
Yes, this is it. And I wanted to be fair to Belichick and Saban and Pete Carroll, you know, out of respect. Didn't want to come in with a big hammer here.
This news is just too big.
It is.
You can't hold it that much.
Yes. If Shefty, you know, breaks into programming on the mothership and says this, then he got it from me. Sources close to me. But on the newsletter, if you're signed up at 6 Eastern when it comes out and in your inbox, in your email, it'll tell you how you can join us at the Super Bowl. Have tickets. You'll be able to join us Monday through Friday, and we'll give you the location as well, but you'll be able to join us in the studio audience. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. We say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Man, I got a lot of energy today. I'm like Pete Carroll's gum. I mean, I'm fired up, ready to go. I'm going to be exhausted at the end of the day. You know, when we get up in that age group that Belichick and Saban and Pete Carroll are, you know, at the end of the day, I'm tired, going to have to take a nap. Yeah, Paulie.
Pete Carroll doesn't speak at press conferences anything like Nick Saban or Bill Belichick. Pete's like, it's like there's a race going on, and he's trying to hit as many things as he can in 90 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. When he talks, he's just going to be better. Like he's got a time limit that he's got to get it out, right? You know, whereas Belichick and Saban are a little slower, more deliberate. Pete's always. Do we have a little bit of Pete Carroll from yesterday press conference?
I competed pretty hard to be the coach, just so you know, because I just wanted to make sure that I stood up for all of our coaches and the players and the things that we had accomplished, not so that we could be the coach still, but so that we could continue to have a chance to be successful and keep the organization going. That's what I was fighting for. So I in that regard, that was what I was representing in our discussions. And we got to a good part, a good clean spot where it made sense. And I went along with their intentions.
He was fighting to coach, to stay as the coach. And that's one of those where, and I have no information, but ownership probably said, no, we're moving on, Pete. You can stay in an advisory role, stay with the franchise as long as you want, but we're going to move on. We're going to go in a younger direction. Probably what happened with Bill Belichick. Belichick was fighting to stay as the head coach. So much so, he was going to relinquish power. So he was open to that. That's why when, you know, they say it's a mutual parting. Well, it's not a mutual parting. It's, okay, Bill, you need to be on board because we're going to move in a different direction. All right, I guess that's a mutual parting then. Saban surprised. I spoke to a source yesterday, and I guess Nick was interviewing coaches, wide receiver coaches, assistant coaches, somebody who he was going to hire. And then all of a sudden goes into a meeting and says that he's retiring. And then the speculation started that Dan Lanning at Oregon, would they bring in Dabo? What about Lane Kiffin? I mean, there was just, it exploded. And I'm going to play an interview that I did with Nick Saban. I think this is a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. And we talked about retirement. And he gave me about 2 minutes a two-minute answer about retirement. So it was sort of there. You just didn't know when it was going to happen. And, same with Belichick. It wasn't a question of if or when. It was going to be when, not if. And Mike Reese did a wonderful job breaking that story with Belichick and the Patriots parting ways. But I figured that Bill was not going to be back. The question is, I thought it might be Friday. Thought it'd be, it'd be tomorrow that they would have that announcement. But here it is this morning, and Bill Belichick and the Patriots will hold a press conference coming up at the top of the noon Eastern, I believe. So we'll have a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming, and we'll try to get in all of this and phone calls as well. Operator Tyler standing by. All right, Seton, what's poll question today?
How about we start here? Who will have a better season next year? Alabama, the Patriots, or the Seahawks?
Okay. It's a sliding scale.
Are we looking too far ahead already?
No. But what is a good season in Alabama? What's a good season in New England? And what's a good season in Seattle? Because I think those are three different answers. Mm-hmm. Certainly two different answers. Alabama, if they lose two games, probably didn't have a great season. If New England makes the playoffs, they had a great season. Seattle didn't make the playoffs this year. If they make the playoffs next year, that would be a good year. So I would say sliding scale, Alabama's expectations just a little more heightened than the other ones. But,
okay. It's a slimmer margin.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
all right. Who would you most want to have beers with? Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Nick Saban.
Okay.
They're all good beer guys in their own way.
Okay.
You walk into a bar, Dan. There's three guys sitting at one corner. One guy's at one corner. One guy's at the other corner. The other guy's in the middle. Who are you sitting next to, Dan?
Okay, so Vrabel is not in this. It's just those three.
I mean, with all due respect to Mike Vrabel, he's not any of those three.
He's not.
No.
But I might want to have a beer with Vrabel over everybody else.
Like, I don't know if the Titans are going to have a better season than all three of those things, but I don't really care either. Not today.
I would probably want to have a beer with Saban. I think I have a good relationship with him. I think he's got a sneaky sense of humor. And I think he would allow me a little latitude on questions that I would ask him. Because the first thing I would say after maybe two beers is, what role did name, image, and likeness play in you deciding you didn't want to coach anymore?
Sure feels like it's really tipped the scale.
I think you're going to see this. It's already happened. You know, Coach K talked about it. Jay Wright talked about it. The great Villanova coach who decided to retire. The landscape has changed because college football was about control. These coaches had you for at least 3 years. You weren't going anywhere. Now, all of a sudden, where you go, how long you stay, how much you make, are you playing? I'm not happy. I'm transferring. That is going to probably limit the coaching careers. You know, guys staying at one place or even staying in the business for a long time, because they do talk about how you get on the practice field or get on the football field in a game, that's where, you know, that's what you love. But the other stuff, that'll drive you out of the business. And I think that's what happened with Nick Saban.
Because now we can't just bring in kids, promise them everything, and replace them as we wish. Yeah. Well, maybe we got a 5-star now and a 4-star. We promised them that they were going to play, and then now they're able to do what they want and have more control over their lives, and I just can't coach that way.
Yeah. I mean, those aren't the exact words of Nick Saban, but they could be. Maybe his feelings. Maybe his feelings. Yeah, name, image, and likeness, and the transfer portal, and what it's going to do to these coaches and how long you stay. Because now going to the NFL with the uncertainty of the NFL, at least there's structure there. You're not recruiting. You know, you don't have to worry about name, image, and likeness.
There's somebody decided to portal. Give these kids some control over their lives, and now I just can't do this anymore.
Once again,
that's good. That's good saving, by the way.
That is.
You got to time it. It's a rhythm.
Yeah, boom. Right around. Boom. Here, that Coke bottle, you'll slide off.
Get the little Debbie's cakes. You get the Diet Coke.
Yeah.
You're right there.
I feel like I'm trapped in a 30 for 30 episode here.
Yeah.
I do. It's like, do you remember that day when all of this happened? And, you know, all of a sudden you're going, wow, it's like a pinball machine here. Wait, what just happened? Wait, what just happened? Wait, what just happened? Yeah, boy.
You know, we live with hyperbole. The newest thing is always the best thing or the latest thing. But it's really clear that you could say two of the five greatest football coaches of all time are done in the past 24 hours. If I said top five of all time football, I didn't say college or pro. Both. It's clear that those two are in there.
Yeah.
I really don't even think there's much of a debate. You could say, oh, there's Lombardi or Shula. Bear Bryant, blah, blah, blah. But you couldn't take these guys out of it. It's almost that clear. That's how big it feels. One more question for you, and okay. Talk to a source. Do you think Nick Saban made his decision in his head or maybe thought about it and then went to his wife and said, I'm doing this, and purposely went in yesterday, told no one, so no one could talk him out of it?
I don't know, because when I spoke to some, as soon as I heard the news, I called a source of mine, and I said, what, no heads up? And he said, we didn't get a heads up. And I go, really? He goes, no. He was interviewing candidates for wide receiver coach position. But I first thing I asked was health. That's what I want to know. I said, is this health related? And I was told, as far as my source, the information he had, he said, no. He said, I just think that he got tired and that his last victory was against Georgia. They won the SEC title. They were a couple of plays away from maybe playing for the national championship. So going out on a high note, but also, my source was trying to just sort all of this out of how it happened, when, who knew, because he said probably the athletic director, they knew for a little while to get to this point, but that's where nobody else knew anything about it. And the reporter for ESPN who broke the story?
Mike Reese.
No.
Oh,
Saban.
Chris Lowe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Chris Lowe. Yeah, congratulations to him breaking that story. And then Mike Reese breaking the story with Bill Belichick. But, yeah, just trying to sort this out and understand. I get the Belichick thing. But Saban, I think the ancillary things about college football and being a coach probably drove him out of the game. Now, I don't know how much longer he would have stayed. But, and also, it was like a factory. You were getting these players. You didn't worry about anybody outbidding you. Then all of a sudden, Georgia came out of nowhere. And it's like, Kirby Smart knows what you do, Nick, and he's going to do it and do it better than you. When Saban spoke to the boosters in Birmingham, and he was talking about, we need to spend more because A&M is buying all their players. Now, he didn't mean to have it be translated the way it came out, that he's accusing A&M of cheating or whatever. It was more of, hey, in our house here, we got to spend more. And that was the first inkling that I had of, wow, all right, now all of a sudden, you can't just coach football. Because if he coaches football, he has no problems, just like Belichick. But, Belichick wasn't getting players. Who wanted to go to New England to play? Nobody did. When Brady was there, because Brady's there, we can win a championship. So you had a golden ticket. Bill doesn't have that anymore. And Saban has Georgia right there. And they're not leaving. And they're out Alabama and Alabama. But he did beat them. His last win was against Georgia for the SEC title. And you beat Auburn. Previous game.
Makes it easier.
Not bad. All right. Rodney Harrison played for Bill Belichick. We'll get his thoughts on his coach and the Patriots parting ways. Also, Rodney is a finalist for the Hall of Fame as well. So we'll talk to him coming up. Just getting started. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, we're Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing. We never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy is overpromising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called overpromise. You should be good at it because you've been overpromising women for years.
Well, it's a Covino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Overpromised.
Well, if you don't get enough Covino and Rich, make sure you check out Overpromised and also uncensored, by the way, so maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after-show podcast of all time.
There you go. Overpromising. Perfect. And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Overpromised with Covino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
The truly brilliant all-electric EQE SUV from Mercedes-Benz features some of the smartest tech ever to grace four wheels. With Dynamic Select, you can fine-tune hundreds of vehicle settings to precisely match your driving style. And available in off-road mode, transparent hood lets you see through the sheet metal to steer clear of bumps and potholes directly beneath you. How about that? A 360 array of cameras and sensors constantly alerting you for danger, while 64-color ambient lighting lets you fully customize the ambiance inside the spacious cabin. The EQE SUV is so smart, even the headlights are thinking. Optional digital light technology projects navigation markings and warnings on the road ahead as you drive. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Test drive the EQE SUV. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQE-SUV.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
By the way, I got the odds from DraftKings where Bill Belichick will coach week one next season. Before we get to Rodney Harrison, best odds of where Bill Belichick is coaching week one, Todd?
Carolina Panthers.
Seton O'Connor.
The Chargers?
That would be correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right now, the overwhelming favorite is the Chargers. Second on the list might surprise you a little bit. Marvin?
The Falcons?
Yes. Good for you.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
And then it's the Commanders. And then the next odds are he is not the head coach of an NFL team next season.
So I was right on that.
Thank you, Todd. Rodney Harrison, Hall of Fame finalist. It's about time. Also, Football Night in America analyst. And the NFL wildcard coverage of the Dolphins and Chiefs, that'll be it's streaming exclusively on our home, Peacock. That'll be coming up on Saturday night in Kansas City. So Rodney Harrison joining us on the program. Rod, your reaction to your former coach, no longer with the Patriots.
Good morning, Dan, first and foremost. And to me, this was expected. Even if he had a successful season in New England, I expected him to move forth after this season. It's time. It's nothing else he can accomplish there. It's at a point in time where I think he needs a new environment. He needs a spark. He needs something totally different than what he's had. I can say it as a player. I played in San Diego for 9 years, and then coming to New England gave me that spark, gave me that kind of that new lease on life that I needed. And you know, I hear you talking about all the different teams. I don't know if that Charger fit would be a good fit. Yes, you have a good quarterback in Justin Herbert. I was thinking more Harbaugh with the Chargers. I was thinking more Belichick with the Washington Commanders. Atlanta would love him here. I live in Atlanta, and he would be an absolute perfect fit here because he can bring that toughness. He can bring the X's and O's version. They have some young talent out here in Atlanta. Obviously, they're going to need a quarterback. But Coach Belichick was so tremendous to me, bringing me to New England, giving me an opportunity. But not only me, the underdog, Dan. You know, you think about Tom Brady being a sixth rounder, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, these type of guys he brings in. He allows to play, and he develops these players. And I tell you, I wouldn't be here sitting in the media and really where I'm at in my career if I didn't have an opportunity to play for Coach Belichick, because I learned so much from him.
You remember your first experience with Belichick?
I did, and we were sitting down just having a conversation about football, and he told me, I remember when you were in warm-ups, when we were playing you guys in San Diego, you made a tackle in warm-ups, and you knocked off one of your DB's helmets. And when he told me that...
Wait, you did that in warm-ups to your teammate?
Yeah, it was an accident. Okay. And I knocked his helmet off. And he remembered that. And when he told me that, I looked at my agent and I said, hey, man, let's get this deal done. This is where I need to be. Denver had more money on the table for me to go, but I wanted to play in New England because I knew it was all football there.
Was there a difference of Belichick in practice and Belichick in the game as far as his style, demeanor?
Not really. He was always a sarcastic, pretty sarcastic, when it came to it. The thing about practice, we worked so hard. Practice was almost like a game. So when we came to game time, we didn't get nervous because the demands were so high in practice, you know, and we worked really hard. We studied. But Belichick is a machine. You get a guy like him, you're getting a coach that knows X's and O's. He knows the game plan. You're going to always have a great defense and somebody that's, I believe, that can elevate the locker room. And somebody that I think has grown to learn the locker room, learn the, you know, just learn these young people, because these young players are different than a lot of the players that he coached.
But also, he wasn't afraid, a lot like Bill Parcells, that they would yell at the stars. Belichick would call out anybody, including Brady.
Yeah, and I think that was the thing that surprised me most when I came. He's yelling at Tom Brady, and he's like, what the heck? How can you not complete this 5 yard out? The guy at Duluth High School can do that. And it was like, wow. So when you yell at Brady, everybody gets, you know, you get everybody's attention. But I tell you, man, Bill, the way people perceive him in the media compared to the man that he is just, he's the best. I mean, you can have a conversation with him. He's smart. He's funny. He's sarcastic. But the best thing about Bill is he's all football. And if you're around him, if you're learning from him, you're going to be smarter. You're going to be better. You're going to be more prepared. And that's the staple of it. You look at all the great players that he's coached and how all of them talk about Bill. You know, whether it's Gronk, whether it's Tom Brady, myself, Willie McGinnis. I mean, we have just such a respect for that man.
He's Rodney Harrison, Football Night in America analyst and Hall of Fame finalist. Are you ready for this moment here?
What moment?
The call. Like the knock on your door.
Hey, Dan, you know what? That's not in my hands, brother. I did everything I could do for 15 years. And if it happens, I am elated. I'm grateful. If it doesn't happen, I'm elated. I'm grateful for all the support and the people. You never get here to this situation, a kid from Markham, Illinois, in the room for the Hall of Fame finalists without so many people helping you and sacrificing, Dan. So for me, I'm grateful just, you know, to be in this situation. And if it happens, great. If it doesn't, we'll see what happens in the future.
Before I let you go, the game that you guys have Saturday night in Kansas City, it's going to be really cold. And I'm wondering, with that Miami team going to Kansas City, it's still cold for them, but, you know, Miami, it's going to be a shock to their systems, I'm sure. As a defensive back, if you were going against Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle, cold weather, is there extra emphasis that you may have? Like, how did you treat the Colts receivers when they came to New England in that, you know, that kind of weather?
Play as physical as possible. That's the number one thing. Play as physical as possible. If you get a couple holding calls or, you know, illegal contact, big deal. Make it as physical as possible. Jam them off the line of scrimmage. When they catch the ball, hit them. Hit him. 2-3 guys at a time. Try to rip the ball. Those guys are going to be so concerned about the cold, they're going to be distracted. The one way they can come in and have a chance to win is using that run game. They do a lot of exotic things in a run game. But they're not going to come out and pass the ball 40 times against the Kansas City Chiefs defense with Steve Spagnuolo, a defensive coordinator, and beat these guys. They're going to have to run the football down.
Great to talk to you as always. Thanks for your thoughts on Coach, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you, man. Always good to see you, Dan.
That's Rodney Harrison. Won a couple of Super Bowls with the Patriots. Now a member of Football Night America. You got the wild card weekend, and you got NBC Sports with 3 wild card games this weekend, including Browns-Texans Saturday afternoon, Rams-Lions Sunday night, and then you've got the exclusive wild card game on Peacock, Dolphins-Chiefs. That'll be Saturday evening. Yeah, Rodney would tell me stories all the time about Belichick, what he did, how he did it, and the fact that he would yell at Tom Brady. He didn't care. Like he treated everybody the same. And this is what Vince Lombardi did. I remember when I talked to Paul Hornung one time. We were on the same flight. And he got, you know, he was having a couple of drinks, and he was telling me stories about Lombardi. And, he got around to the famous quote that he treated us all the same. He treated us like dogs. But the business acumen of those players who played for him, successful business people, not only successful football players, but the number of players who played for Lombardi who talk about his discipline and how that made them great businessmen. And, you know, these players talk about Belichick that way, having structure, having discipline, playing within yourself, knowing what your limits are. But Rodney brought up a great point. Belichick might not be great at seeing true talent in front of him, but he's great at seeing talent that maybe that player doesn't even know he has. When you say Julian Edelman or Wes Welker, you know, Gronk was hurt his final year in college. Troy Brown, Slater, Kevin Falk, Julian Edelman, Brady, James White. That's really part of the genius of Belichick. I think of two things: his ability to see something in somebody that they may not, but his ability to adjust. And I go back when he was the defensive coordinator with the Giants in the Super Bowl against the Buffalo Bills. And I believe he just put 2 defensive linemen in the game. And then everybody, they basically said to Thurman Thomas, go ahead, you're going to have a good game. We're not letting Jim Kelly beat us. And we thought, how crazy is this? Thurman Thomas was great, but they weren't letting Jim Kelly beat them. And then they ended up winning in a close game, a low-scoring game. But I just thought, oh, my God. Like just seeing it and saying, this is what we're going to do. And that ability to go out and from quarter to quarter, half to half, game to game. There's no greater coach in football history than Belichick at doing that. Yeah, Pauline.
I love that Rodney story. I hadn't heard that one before, that Rodney, when he was a Charger, cracked a teammate in the pregame. And Belichick noticed it and liked it. Not like, oh, that guy's a cheap shot. He's like, I need a guy like that.
But Rodney also talked about, I think in that same game, he was on the kickoff team. He hit somebody so hard he knocked himself out. And he goes, that was the only way I knew how to play. Fast forward to when he went to New England, they were a physical secondary. This is before the Legion of Boom. You had that secondary there. Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, they were physical. And won that Super Bowl when they were more physical with the Rams wide receivers. Like, greatest show on turf, that's nice. But we're going to hit you and hold you as much as we can. And that's the reason why they won that first Super Bowl when they beat the Rams, that defense and that secondary. Because you thought, all of that speed, how are they going to be able to keep up? And they did. And they would beat the Colts because they were always going to be physical. They were always going to be physical with Marvin Harrison. They were going to make him pay. And, Belichick, he's always going to be a little more prepared than you are. Always. Yes, Marv.
Even with the Malcolm Butler play, Belichick told him what to do.
You're right.
Like, that is genius right there.
When Butler told us after the Super Bowl that on Wednesday of Super Bowl week, they were practicing, and Malcolm got there late on a play that, you know, the offense was running. And Bill said, you sprint. If you see that, you sprint for the ball. And if you see what, you know, Malcolm Butler did, he didn't care about, you know, hitting a receiver. He was going for the ball and being behind the play underneath the goalpost that night. I thought that maybe he just caused an incompletion. I had no idea that he came up with the ball. They stole a Super Bowl because of that. But, you know, the fact that Bill sees it and says it to you on Wednesday, hey, if this happens, you get there. You go right to the ball.
Get to this spot.
Yes. I mean, that's remarkable stuff. It really is. All right. We'll get some phone calls here. Poll question, Seton, which one did we go with?
Well, we have another one we could go with, too. This is a little bit of a callback, but harder to replace. Mike Vrabel, no, I'm kidding. JK.
Snarky.
How about we change this one up, too? Snarky. Yeah, snarky. Who will make the playoffs next year? Alabama, New England, Seattle.
Well, I'll say
I'm trying to level it. That was a suggestion by somebody on Twitter to fix the original poll question was who has a better season? Who makes the playoffs?
Well, I would say Alabama because 12 teams will make the playoffs. I would say they have a better chance. New England, they got to get a quarterback. And a few other things there as well. It depends on where Bill goes. I don't know. I could be weird to see Bill in sunshine. I'm so used to tuning into a Patriot game, and he's there with, you know, his hoodie covered up. It's bad weather, rainy or snowy. And you're going to see him out there in the sunshine. He's, you know, he's going to have a tan, going to have sunglasses on. Yeah, Paul.
You should coach in the CFL, you know, like Saskatchewan or something.
Edmonton.
Get him up there.
Yeah, so DraftKings odds, the best place for Bill to be coaching week one next season is the Chargers, followed by the Falcons, then the Commanders, then not a head coach of any NFL team, then it's the Panthers and the rest of the field. Now, there's other teams that are in here. The Titans, they got the Giants, the Saints, and the Jets. Long odds, but for Bill Belichick. Also, after Nick Saban's announcement, Alabama went from plus 600 to win the national title to plus 800. Not sure who they're going to target here, but, you know, it felt like it was Dan Lanning at Oregon because, you know, he's been there before coaching. Lane Kiffin has been there. Sark, Dabo Sweeney, maybe. But I think Dabo has cooled off considerably. I don't think that they would entertain Lane Kiffin. They might entertain him. Sark, Texas has got so much money. And you got Arch Manning in the on-deck circle there. I mean, that's tough to go in there and follow him. Going in to follow Belichick, if Gerard Mayo, the former Patriot who's on the staff, former Patriot player, if he got the job, I mean, that might be the best direction. Because then it's our guy, and let's support him, not somebody coming in. Now, Mike Vrabel would be a wonderful choice. But if you don't get him, Gerard Mayo, promote from within, that might be the direction. Because the pressure to follow Saban, it's just bigger. It's bigger than following Belichick, in my opinion, because Belichick hasn't done much the last 4 years. When you follow Bear Bryant, when you follow John Wooden, when you follow Adolph Rupp, you always want to be the guy who follows the guy who followed the guy. But, you know, trying to replace Saban where they expect you to compete for a national championship. You go to New England, hey, let's try to make the playoffs here. That's where the bar is right now. All right, let me take a break. Got our play of the day coming up, more phone calls as well. Top of the hour, Gary Danielson, the longtime voice of the SEC. He'll join us as well. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
The all-electric EQS sedan from Mercedes-Benz is luxury and innovation on a truly magnificent scale. It's not just the flagship of the Mercedes-Benz electric lineup. It sets a whole new standard for all luxury electric vehicles. You're going to marvel at this epic 56-inch touch-sensitive hyperscreen featuring self-upgrading next-generation AI and a beautiful, intuitive interface for both driver and front seat passenger. You'll experience next-level comfort in an exquisite, spacious, near-silent cabin that makes this flagship feel more like you're piloting a spaceship. And you'll appreciate the graceful aerodynamic design that almost completely eliminates drag for an outstanding operating range of up to 350 miles on a single charge. The EQS is an object lesson in just how far electric mobility has come. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Take a test drive. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQS.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hey, it's hour two on this Thursday. Once again, it feels like I'm trapped in a 30 for 30. Everything that happened yesterday, last night, and now this morning, Bill Belichick and the Patriots parting ways. They'll have a press conference with Belichick and Robert Kraft coming up at noon Eastern. Nick Saban yesterday. Also, Pete Carroll yesterday. I thought Mike Vrabel and the Titans parting ways was a big deal. That was just the appetizer here. Now we got to an entree and then another entree and another entree. Welcome to the program. We say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. That's our streaming partner, our radio affiliates around the country, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, nearly 400 cities carrying the program. Phone calls, we'll get to those coming up. A lot of people have a lot of thoughts on everything that happened yesterday and so far today. 877-3DP-SHOW. Seton poll question from hour one, and then what are we going to go with in hour two?
Dan, hour one, we put up there, we have who will have a better season next year, Alabama, the Patriots, or the Seahawks. 67% of the audience say Alabama, followed by the Seahawks.
Oh.
Not a lot of faith in the Patriots rebounding next year, new coach bump.
Okay.
That's not great.
All right. What are we going to go with hour two?
We're going to throw up there harder to replace. Bill Belichick or Nick Saban? Is that too much of a landslide for Nick Saban?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so.
All right, we'll go back to who do we want to have a beer with then? Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, or Nick Saban? That one's probably a lot closer.
Yeah, I like that one. That, you know, because people think, get a couple of beers in Bill, and maybe he's going to open up a little bit, start dishing on some things. Pete, I think, Pete would be fun. But I think Nick Saban might be sneaky great with something like that. All right, let's see. We'll get to phone calls. Gary Danielson has called over 500 college games. including 100 of Nick Saban's. He'll join us, the longtime voice of the SEC on CBS, former quarterback in the NFL. He'll join us coming up. Also, Tom Pelissero, the insider for NFL Network, sort of the coaching carousel got stopped and then spun in a different direction with Mike Vrabel now available. Pete Carroll, I think, still wants to coach. The Chicago Bears situation is really interesting to me for a couple of reasons. You have Matt Eberflus, who had to fire his quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator. Okay, if you're going to do that, what coach is going to want to come in as your offensive coordinator knowing that you might be fired the following year? Therefore, you're going in there, and then you may be shown the door because the coaching staff would be fired. Unless you are going to have Matt Eberflus, you're going to bring in a new offensive coordinator and a new quarterback's coach because you're taking Caleb Williams. And if I'm Matt Eberflus, if I can hold on and get another couple of years here, and now I have a different quarterback, but you have to extend Matt Eberflus. You have to give him a contract extension. Because if not, he's going to be a lame duck coach, and you're going to bring in a coaching staff, or at least offensive coordinator. Why would I take that job if I'm not even sure if the coach is going to be there? And if you're going to bring in Caleb Williams, because if you don't, and now you're bringing in another offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach for Justin Fields. And that's not fair to him. And this is the first time I thought, okay, maybe they are moving off Justin Fields and they are going to take Caleb Williams or Drake May. But they're going to take a quarterback because I have to extend the coach and then I have to bring in an offensive coordinator and a quarterback's coach and have those contracts, you know, sync up there. Or why would you take the job? That coach is going to be a lame duck coach. So I'm expecting the Bears, if they're not moving on from him, that they're going to extend him and that the Bears were probably going to move on from Justin Fields. And I didn't get that feeling a week ago, but I did yesterday. Yeah, kind of interesting. All right, so we have our poll question, and we'll get to phone calls. Good morning once again, watching on Peacock. Sign up for the newsletter. If you are interested in joining us at the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, please do. Yeah, all you have to do is go to the newsletter, and it'll have all the information tonight at 6 Eastern, and we'll let you know how you can join us in Las Vegas. Gary Danielson on the golf course, and we appreciate him taking time out from his great golf game, I'm sure. What hole are you on, Gary?
Yes, Dan. In fact, I'm not taking time out. I'm actually playing, but we are at 13. We usually start about 7:30, and we play really fast.
Okay. How surprised were you with the Nick Saban news?
Well, college football is different. You know, you cannot give anybody any heads up about what's going on. If you even hint that, you know, you might have 1-2 years left and you're thinking about it, you'll get killed in recruiting. So I knew whenever Nick decided to do it, it would be a surprise or very few people would know about it. I don't even think a staff knew about it. So it was going to be one of those days that 2 or 3 o'clock, there was just going to be an announcement and it was going to happen. Did I think it was going to happen now? No, didn't realize that. There is a bit of a transition, I think, for his football team. I think he was really proud of the way this last team played and the job he did. So, you know, I guess it kind of makes sense. I think Pete and Bill and Nick are all the same age. They're 72 years old.
Yeah, but it feels like Pete Carroll still wants to coach. Belichick still wants to coach. I think college football, today's college football, probably sped up the retirement for Nick Saban. I think NIL and transfer portal, now all of a sudden college football, you have less control than you do as an NFL head coach.
I think that's a good observation. I think, you know, the way that Nick has always built his program is obviously recruiting great players. I think he was one of the, you know, the people that really saw the future, even when he was at Michigan State, when he took the job at LSU, he realized he had to be at a place to recruit the best to win. So I think as he's looked now at his age, is it a little more frustrating for these coaches? I can see that. You know, it sure is different. I've heard stories now from coaches that when you walk into a recruit's room, before you say anything about what type of offense you're playing, they want to know, let's get right down to it, how much am I going to get? And I think NIL really doesn't explain the process. I don't think it's NIL. I actually think it's pay to play.
The importance of Saban to the success of the SEC, how do you quantify that?
I think it's immeasurable. The fact that he left Michigan State and went to LSU, I think he saw kind of the future. I think the demographics of the Midwest changed. I think Nick was a bit frustrated that, and he realized to be at the right school in a state where he could control recruiting, you know, the way Ohio State, and coached at Ohio State. He was at Michigan State. You know, it's an interesting job, Michigan State. You're right there in the middle of the state, and the players are south of you, and three of the most famous schools in college football are just south of you, Notre Dame, Michigan, and Ohio State. So, you know, everybody was shocked, but I think Nick Saban's, he saw the future. He went to Michigan State. I think he got a couple breaks in his career, though. One, his staff did not go to Michigan State. And I think he used that very wisely to hire, you know, the Will Muschamps and the Jimbo Fishers, you know, really hungry, good young coaches mm-hmm. that recruited well. And the other break, I think, was, you know, I don't know how his NFL career would have gone. But I don't know if he goes to Alabama if Drew Brees goes to Miami Dolphins. So, you know, these things work out. But Nick is very driven. I mean, I've done 500 televised games, and I think 100 of them have been with Nick Saban. And I personally, you know, I prepare for the meetings. I go to practice. I think if he does not respect that you're prepared and understand, at least he doesn't expect you to know everything, but he expects you to work hard for the game, just like he expects his entire organization to work hard. And I think he's got, I think he understands athletes too. You know, they want a coach that can help them win, and they want a coach that can help them get to the next level, whether it's a high school coach, a college coach, or obviously in the pros, they want to get the next level is to make more money.
Yeah, and I saw sort of a parallel with what John Calipari has tried to do at Kentucky, that he's preparing you for that next job going into the NBA. He just hasn't been as successful as Nick Saban, but Saban could keep a lot of those players for 3 years, maybe 4 years. Then NIL transfer portal kind of happened upon us. When you're in the production meeting with Saban, how much would he share with you?
I never asked him to share any strategy. I just don't feel that that is a fair question to ask a coach. I really never wanted to know, you know, what your trick plays or anything like that. I would let him know that I've watched the tape, not by telling him, but on my questions, I would ask him pointed questions about things that happened last game, things that I've seen the other team do, what changes or what players he feels need to play better. Nick was very good to us. You know, he liked Vern a lot. You know, I did 90 SEC games with Nick Saban. And, you know, most of those, obviously the last 5 years with Brad Nessler, a lot of them with Vern, he likes both of them. So he likes to talk, but you never really got, at least I didn't. You know, maybe he was different with Todd or Kirk. But with me, I just didn't feel that was me to go, you know, what's your trick plays this week? That's just not how I approached it. I think you had to read between the lines of what he was saying and how excited he was about his team. That worked best for me.
Who would you recommend to replace Nick Saban?
Well, I think the names that are out there are all good names. You know, I mean, you know, Dan Lanning would be a really good, Norvell would be a really good choice. I mean, obviously, you know, there's the connections with Lane. Those all make sense to me. You know, the person that has to have a really strong personality to go in there, because obviously they're following, you know, the greatest ever. It's not an easy job for anybody because, you know this, the measurements at Ohio State are, you know, when we're talking about it's win them all. Win them all, yeah. Or it's not a great year.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of the things I really talked about a lot when I did Alabama games. for all those years. Not only did they have really good players, not only, obviously they were well coached, but they were clutch. They played clutch football with the pressure on. They won a lot of games when there were a lot of things going against them. Big LSU games. You know, he only really lost, I think, one SEC championship game, and that was to Florida. And I always gave him a lot of credit. You know, he'd always talk to his players. You know, he's an ex-quarterback. He always talked to his players that, you know, we got to be disciplined, but you got to let it go. You got to, you know, and I think they bought into that. And I was always, when I watched him play, I really thought, as demanding as Nick was at practice, I think he was, of course he was fiery on the sidelines, but I think he was understanding that in the game, you got to play a little bit loose. Disciplined, yes, but a little bit loose, if that makes any sense.
Always great to talk to you. Back to your golf game. Thanks for joining us, Gary.
Appreciate it, Dan. I'm 13th hole. I've already hit two while I've been talking to you. So. Nice and smooth. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, buddy. That's Gary Danielson, longtime voice analyst, SEC on CBS. A couple of phone calls in here. Dean in Dallas. Hi, Dean. What's on your mind today? Hey, Dean. Thanks, Dean. Doug in North Carolina. Hi, Doug. What's on your mind?
Well, Dan, I'm having a battle between my inner child and my educated adult that I've become. In front of me, I have the numbers for Bear Bryant and Nick Saban. Gary Danielson just called Saban the best ever. Both of these guys won six national championships with Alabama. Bear was there longer, obviously, but Nick has a better winning percentage. So my question is, who's the best in Alabama history?
I would say Nick Saban, because Bear Bryant did most of had most of his success without integration. I think when USC played Alabama and Bear Bryant saw what Sam the Bam Cunningham was doing for USC, he decided that he was going to recruit African Americans. And so I would say that that has to play a little bit of a role, like Adolph Rupp as well at Kentucky. But I would say Nick Saban. To do what he's doing today, you know, it's like John Wooden. John Wooden wouldn't be John Wooden today. He's still a great coach, but he wouldn't have 10 titles in 12 years. Red Auerbach wouldn't have that with the Boston Celtics. But they did it when they did it against the competition that, you know, they were playing. But, you know, things have changed. More teams, better athletes, better coaches, and more money. Let's see. What else do we have here? Jesse in Colorado. Hey, Jess, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I had a question for you guys. Thanks for taking my call. But I know his previous stints as a head coach weren't the greatest, but what are the chances of McDaniels taking over for the Patriots job?
I don't think he's a head coach. I mean, I've said that before, Jesse. There are certain guys who are great at being a coordinator. And I think Josh McDaniels is one of those guys. Being a head coach is just different. You got to be all things to all people. And you can't just be, this is my little group here. And we've seen that with Belichick's coaching tree. He had a lot of guys who were really good at one thing. But being a head coach, it is difficult. Bill Belichick's personality is that of a defensive coordinator, not as a head coach. But he gets away with it. He got away with it because they were successful. But maybe they hire Josh McDaniels. I don't know. That wouldn't be my choice. Mike Vrabel would be my choice. Or Gerard Mayo, if you want to promote from within. This guy coming up next, Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, will join us. He'll have some thoughts on that. And what's this mean for the coaching carousel? That Vrabel's now available, and Pete Carroll is available. I don't know how many teams are going to, like, if you're in a rebuild and Pete Carroll at 72, I just don't know if teams are going to do that. But we'll talk to Tom and get his thoughts on that coming up next, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we'll talk to Tom Pelissero, NFL Network insider, get his thoughts on this coaching carousel that got a couple of new participants yesterday with Bill Belichick, we expected. And Pete Carroll was a little bit of a surprise. Mike Vrabel, maybe a little bit of a surprise as well. But we'll talk to Tom coming up here in a moment. Let me get another phone call in here. Billy in Nashville. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Dan. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
I know Belichick wants to coach, and he'll be good anywhere he goes, but this is a chance for the NFL to fix their coaching problem, or I'm sorry, their officiating problem, because who better than Bill Belichick to become the guy who trains and certifies NFL officiating crews?
That sounds like a miserable job, though, Billy. Belichick still wants to coach. He wants to surpass Don Shula's all-time record. The question is, and according to DraftKings, the best odds right now, the top odds for where Bill Belichick will coach week one, the L.A. Chargers. Man, I just don't see it. It just feels like that's Harbaugh going back West Coast. Then it's the Falcons. I don't even know if I see that. Commanders, and then the fourth best odds are not a head coach of any NFL team. Yeah, Paul.
Could the Falcons bring in the guy who did what he did to them?
I know, that's what I was thinking.
I'm not going to say the phrase 28.
The three. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network insider. He's been busy. You can. By the way, you can see the Dolphins-Chiefs Saturday at 8 Eastern exclusively on Peacock as we make way for Tom. All right, let's start with Belichick here. He does want to coach. Where do you think is the best fit for Bill Belichick?
I would tell you this, Dan. With Bill Belichick, he's been aware for months that potentially things would be coming to an end in New England. And so without, you know, making a lot of direct contact teams, he's back-channeled things and gotten a pretty good understanding of, you know, what potentially his options might be. I would tell you there's been a lot of discussion about the Atlanta Falcons. I would say that is one possibility, but there are also possibilities that there are teams that maybe are still in the playoffs, teams that do employ head coaches, maybe teams that weren't thinking about making a change, but for the availability of arguably the greatest coach in NFL history, suddenly coming to the forefront here. In other words, if you're any team that feels like, you know, we've got a good coach, but we may not have a great coach, why would you not have a conversation right now about Bill Belichick? You know, there's delicate pieces of this. There are rules regarding interview processes and whatnot. I think that for Bill Belichick, it always made sense, even though we're going to get a press conference today and this has been finalized, Bill Belichick and the Patriots are parting ways. It has always made sense for Bill Belichick to wait and see what happens in the first, maybe even the second round of the playoffs, and see maybe where there's some other teams that are a little further along that may not be as much of a build for him that might end up potentially becoming options.
Okay. Are we hinting at the Cowboys here, Tom?
We're hinting at any team that might believe after you get into the playoffs here that maybe you could upgrade of going to Bill Belichick. Listen, it's got to be a pretty specific type of team, right? And that's on multiple fronts. Bill Belichick is not going to take over a total rebuild. He's 72 years old. As much as he's done that in a place like New England, that was a quarter century ago. Bill Belichick is not sitting there going, all right, I got 5 years to build something elsewhere. If he's going to go, he's got to think, we've got enough pieces on the roster that I can get this thing rolling and get it rolling quickly. It's also got to be the right ownership, the right structure. If you've got a team that has a hyper-involved owner, or you've got a team that is going to put in place layers of other people above Bill, people that can tell Bill how to do his job, that's not really going to be a fit for him either. For instance, I know that there's been a lot of rumors and speculation about the Washington Commanders. I do not see that being a fit for Bill Belichick, for all the reasons I just mentioned. They're going to hire a president of football operations. They do have a little bit further to go on the roster, even though they got a lot of capital to do it. A place like Atlanta that's got a much improved defense, that's invested on that side of the ball, that does have players at the skill spots, they still need a quarterback. That's a lot further along here. And again, there's some places right now that have head coaches in place that maybe, based upon upcoming results or maybe how the season ended, might be willing to make a change, but only if they can get a guy like a Bill Belichick and take your shot for the next 2-3 years, whatever that timeline might be.
What did the Patriots do?
The Patriots, I would anticipate running a very targeted search. They're not going to just, you know, put out 10, 12 requests for all these different people. They're going to start by looking within the family. So who is that? You got Gerard Mayo, who's an in-house option on the coaching staff. I would certainly not say that by any stretch that's a slam dunk that Gerard Mayo gets that job. There's other coaches out there, Mike Vrabel being chief among them. I mean, a couple of months ago, he's sitting in Robert Kraft's suite and saying, we got a game to win today, and maybe taking a veiled shot at his current employer at the time by saying, hey, fans, enjoy this because it's not like this everywhere. Mike Vrabel has a long history in that organization, including being a player there. It certainly is a consideration. So it would be a Brian Flores, who's now the Vikings defensive coordinator. He won a Super Bowl with Bill Belichick as the DC in New England. I think that you're going to look at all those types of guys because they know how that building functions. Dan, that's New England is not like any place else because of the unilateral power that Bill Belichick has had for so long in that building. They're going to need a general manager too. They're going to need to build out their operational staff. They're going to need to build out a lot of different things because there's nobody, even the guys who have been there before, that are going to take on as much as Bill Belichick did. And I think that when you trace through why ultimately here Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft are going separate directions, it's not simply 4-13 this season. It's about how certain things have eroded over the course of time in New England. When you look at their coaching staff, when you look at the front office staff, they've got good people on both fronts, but it's not the same people. Look at how many people have gotten head coaching jobs or GM jobs and have left. You know, the basically a brain drain that they've had over the course of time here. You know, there were a lot of discussions among Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft, especially on Monday. They met for hours on that day, talked through every scenario, including scenarios where Bill Belichick would come back. But Belichick said it himself when he met with reporters Monday morning, we got to get some things fixed. Robert Kraft had his ideas of how you're going to fix that. Bill Belichick had his own ideas on how to fix that. You have seen an erosion of Bill Belichick's authority to a certain degree in recent years. For instance, last year when Robert Kraft put out a rare press release saying, hey, we're going to keep Gerard Mayo. We're bringing in Bill O'Brien as the offensive coordinator. New England has never done things like that. And so for Belichick, he was going to want to make certain changes in terms of the people as much as anything. So was Robert Kraft. They weren't quite on the same page. Everybody's going to go their own directions.
Tom Pelissero, NFL Network insider. Jim Harbaugh, how close do you think this is to a real possibility that he goes to the NFL?
I believe it's a real possibility, Dan, and I believe it's been a real possibility in Jim Harbaugh's mind for a couple of years now. You know, you trace it back to 2 years ago when he interviewed in person with the Vikings on National Signing Day. That's how serious Jim Harbaugh was about the possibility of going to the NFL. Was that partly to tweak an administration that had just forced him to take a pay cut the year before coming off COVID? Who's to say? But he was very serious about that job to the point that he did a Zoom with the Vikings and then went in person and did, like, I want to say it was a 7-hour interview with them. They ultimately, based on the results of the interviews as well as just kind of the fit, they decided to go with Kevin O'Connell. That's been a really good hire for them. Last year with Denver, Harbaugh did a Zoom with the Broncos. They wanted to get him in for an in-person interview. And this is not a direct quote from Harbaugh, but the sense on his end was, I'm Jim Harbaugh. How many interviews do I have to do? You know exactly who I am as a coach. Just hire me if you want to. The Penners actually flew and visited Harbaugh in Ann Arbor to try to get him to reconsider. That one just didn't line up. This time around, Harbaugh, I can tell you this, Dan, has been refreshing his staff list. He's had conversations with people. He's been evaluating the openings. He also, coming off of, you know, the greatest feat of his coaching career, winning a national title at his alma mater, his head's in the clouds still a little bit here over the last couple of days. I would anticipate we will find out fairly soon how serious Jim Harbaugh is and whether there's a place that's lined up for him to go in the NFL. It's a lot like I talked about Bill Belichick and how you need to have the personnel and the structure of the organization line up for him to want to take that job. It's a similar type of thing with Jim Harbaugh. Everybody's going to draw the arrows to the LA Chargers. They absolutely are exploring this. And from Harbaugh's perspective, there's a lot to like, and it begins with Justin Herbert. The Chargers also are a family-owned and run business. John Spanos oversees the football operation. Another one of Dean Spanos' sons oversees the business operation. Is that going to be a fit for what they want to do and what Jim Harbaugh wants to do. There are some fascinating discussions to be had if they go down that path. The Raiders makes a lot of sense, too. Would Jim Harbaugh and Mark Davis be a fit? We'll see. There's other jobs out there that potentially Harbaugh could be connected to as well. But for me, I would say if Jim Harbaugh is going to take one of these things in this cycle, L.A. and Las Vegas would be the two to watch.
The Seattle opening. How attractive is that, and who do you think they're going to target?
I believe it's a really attractive job opening in Seattle because they've gotten so much younger. They really flipped that thing over the last few years here. You look at the talent that they've amassed at the skill spots, the young talent that they've amassed on defense. You know, Dan, they went into last season making moves like they thought they could win a Super Bowl right now. They brought back Bobby Wagner and paid him a bunch of money. They made a trade deadline trade for Leonard Williams, which you know gave up future draft picks. You don't do that if you're not expecting, hey, we're in it to win it right now. They end up 9-8. They miss the playoffs. I think it's fair to say they felt like this was a team that underachieved to a certain degree. 14 years is a long time for anybody to have one job in the NFL. Pete Carroll said it yesterday. He fought. He, as Pete always says, he competed to be the coach. But Jody Allen, the Seahawks chair, her mind was made up based on the total evaluation here. They're going to look, I think, it's an oversimplification to say, well, Dan Quinn's just going to come in. He's been there before. Dan Quinn's going to have other options. He's a real candidate in Tennessee. He's a real candidate in a place like Washington. He's got slips from a couple of other teams as well. Dan Quinn potentially is going to have options here once we get to the point that Dan Quinn can actually talk with other teams. And so for Seattle, I anticipate you're going to see them put in slips in all likelihood in the coming days here for some of the young offensive coaches, because with Pete Carroll, you know, they've had good offenses at times through the years, but Pete's foundation is defense. Don't turn it over. We're going to win the way that we have to. We have to cut you loose. Russell Wilson, Geno Smith in the fourth quarter. We're going to do that. I think it's going to be somebody who probably fits, you know, in broad swaths, the culture that they've built here. Not that you're going to do everything the same as Pete, which is why it doesn't necessarily have to be Dan Quinn. But I think like that culture of positivity and competition is going to be a big deal for them. They'll run a broad search here, and it'll be interesting to see where that lands.
But it feels like Pete still wants to coach. At 72, is he as attractive as Bill Belichick?
I think that if Pete Carroll wants to coach, and he said it in his press conference after the game as well as yesterday, that he doesn't feel worn out. He feels refreshed. He said he's freaking jacked. Again, to use another Pete Carrollism about what comes next here. Absolutely. I mean, there are teams that are going to evaluate this, and I can tell you are evaluating this with Pete. I mean, there's a couple of teams that would make sense. The Atlanta Falcons would make sense. I don't know that Pete is moving across the country to do that at this point, but there's always been an attraction for Arthur Blank to bringing in a guy like a Pete Carroll. I mean, he hired Dan Quinn years ago out of that same program. The Chargers are also a possibility if in terms of at least evaluating this opportunity. Can you imagine Pete Carroll going back to L.A. to take one more shot, and he's got Justin Herbert, a quarterback, and a veteran defense? Again, these are all hypotheticals at this point. The Chargers are a team that is going to interview a ton of people for this job. But I would absolutely not rule out Pete Carroll coaching in the NFL again, potentially even in 2024.
Now. All right, I'll leave you with this. I'm trying to understand what the Bears are doing. You keep Matt Eberflus, but you hire or you fire the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach, which now leads me to believe they move on from Justin Fields. Why would you take that job if you're an offensive coordinator if you're not even sure if Matt Eberflus is going to be extended? So do the Bears extend their head coach so you get some stability for an offensive coordinator and or quarterbacks coach who's going to go in there? And does that lead you to believe the same thing, that they're going to take somebody number one overall at quarterback?
I don't foresee a contract extension for Matt Eberflus at this point, just because he's 2 years in. Most teams don't do new deals 2 years in unless you've gone to the Super Bowl. The Bears played better the second half of last season down the stretch, and that really made the case for Matt Eberflus to stick around. You know, you look at the numbers on their offense, they weren't horrible. I mean, they ended up number two in rushing, even though they didn't even have Justin Fields for a chunk of games. I mean, they're playing with a Division II undrafted quarterback, Tyson Bagent, and they're winning some of those games. They were top 10 most of the season in third downs and red zone. So this was not a completely broken offense by any stretch. I think that my instincts are the same as yours, Dan, which is there's probably a possibility this would signal that you are bringing in a new quarterback and you're going to gear a new offense around him. But the Bears at this point are not going to cut off any of their options in terms of potentially keeping Justin Fields. Although he's also at a point where if you're going to commit to him, you'd be thinking about a contract extension for him sooner than later. Bears are in a really unique spot. Ryan Pohl said as much yesterday, where you're sitting on the number one pick and the number nine pick, and you have a quarterback who, you know, even though it's never been consistent with Justin Fields, which is the biggest fault there and the biggest reason you might move on, you've also seen him at times do some pretty cool stuff on the field. So a lot of different directions that could go. They immediately put in a request yesterday, Dan, hours after the Pete Carroll decision, for Shane Waldron, who's been the offensive coordinator in Seattle and had Geno Smith playing at a really high level. Is it the most attractive job in the NFL? For all the reasons you just said, there certainly is going to be trepidation among some coaches of, hey, am I walking into a one-year situation and then we're all going to be in trouble here? But whether you're talking about Justin Fields or, you know, just as alluring, probably more so, Caleb Williams, a potential number one pick coming in. He hasn't declared for the draft yet. Still could be Drake May. A lot of ways this could go. But let's be honest, Caleb Williams is the one that everybody in the league is going to be talking about, and somebody quite possibly, whether it's the Bears or otherwise, is going to end up in that number one spot taken.
I lied. I have one more. What's the wildest rumor you've heard? Not report. Do you have any wild rumors?
I mean, hasn't reality been more fun than rumor right now, Dan?
That is true.
For the last couple of days, you need more than Pete Carroll is out in Seattle. Bill Belichick is out in New England. I mean, listen, there's always rumors about, you know, what potentially could happen with a Mike Tomlin. He's got 1 year left on his contract. Usually the Steelers do extensions earlier than that. They didn't in this case. Could he, you know, potentially walk? Would there, there'd absolutely be interest with other teams. I think that's something, you know, to keep in mind here. I mean, there's so much stuff. We have a coaching, think about this, Dan, just like 30,000 foot view this for a second. We have an NFL coaching cycle right now where we're talking about possible candidates, Jim Harbaugh, Mike Vrabel, Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll. That's a real thing that's happening right now in 2024. And when you look at the young candidates for some of these jobs, there's certainly a lot of talented young coaches, but outside of a Ben Johnson, maybe a Brian Callahan, maybe an Aaron Glenn, there's not a whole lot of coaches that you say right now, okay, open and shut, this guy's going to get a job and he's ready to go. It's going to be an absolutely fascinating few weeks in the hiring cycle. And oh yeah, pour on top of that the fact that we've got unique rules now for the first time where you can't do in-person interviews with people who are currently employed by NFL teams until January 22nd after the divisional playoff games. You know who's not subject to those rules? Bill Belichick,
Jim Harbaugh,
those guys are, and Pete Carroll. All those guys, it's a different type of a deal because if they end up getting released from their contracts, which is a technical thing we can deal with later, they're available to interview right now, and it'll be fascinating to see where it all goes.
Thank you, Tom.
You got it, Dan. Happy to be here.
Tom Pelissero, NFL Network Insider. Man, exhausted after that.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.